I want you to open your Bibles to Psalm 139. These are some of my favorite verses. One of the first sermons that I studied and preached. I love this passage. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Spiritual warfare involves tearing down strongholds. Strongholds are those areas in our lives that get a hold of us. We talked about some last week. We talked about the stronghold of identity. Who am I? Do you really know who you are? We talked about the stronghold of isolation. We push ourselves away from other people, and we don't want anybody to know us and our business. We talked about the stronghold of insolence or pride. We talked about how that some people think that they're invisible, that God won't see them. We talked about how that some people think they're invincible and nothing can ever happen to them, and they'll get away with it. But today I want us to think about a few other strongholds, because when David writes these words, really they're probably Paul picked on these words and thought of them in his heart as he talked about this, because when David says, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, or test me and know my thoughts, these words, that word thoughts is a word used only twice in the Hebrew Old Testament, and it's not the normal word for thoughts. It's like high thoughts, exactly like Paul uses. It's faith-wrecking thoughts. It's disquieting thoughts. And so I want us to pick up on these verses, and we're going to go through, and we're going to see how David prays. Because this is probably written after his fall, and now he prays, God, keep me straight. Keep me straight. Because you know what? Sin wrecks us. David realized the reefs of sin onto which his life had crashed had brought such pain and heartache that he never wanted to go there again. So listen to him pray and listen to what these words say. Notice there are four truths in this passage. Each part of the verse is a truth. Notice he asked for a penetrating search. A penetrating search. He said this. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Notice it is penetrating because he wants the Lord to spy out his heart. This word search is the word used of the spies when they went into the land of Israel. It's not just a general idea. It's those people who search out very carefully and they look. It's the word that's used when the Pharisees watched him closely to find any kind of thing that he did. It's that idea. It's God, look carefully, deeply, penetratingly in my life. God, look in every crevice and nook and cranny, every hidden place. Open up every closet that I really don't want you to open. You got a closet God doesn't want you to open? Let's leave that closet alone. No, Lord, we'll talk about this. But God says, no, I want that closet. No, let's not talk about that closet. But notice this. He says this. Not only does he want God to penetrate and search to the core, notice it's personal. Search me. You know what? God wants to put the spotlight on you. David said, Lord, I don't care what Joab's doing today. It's not about Joab. It's not about Solomon. It's not about Nathan the prophet. It's not about Saul. Search me. Search me. The old spiritual says, it's me, it's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. See, it's not anybody else. You know what? If you don't let God start with you, it doesn't really matter what he does in anybody else's life. God wants to search you. And then he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. This word means expose it. Let me see it like you see it. You see, I think I'm doing pretty good until God searches my heart. And here's what I know. People who think they're always pretty good, you know what it tells me? It tells me only one thing about them. They never really get into the presence of God. Because the minute you get into the presence of God, you realize one thing. He's holy and I'm not. The minute you get in God's presence, you are aware of your sinfulness. Like Isaiah, when Isaiah got in the presence of God, Isaiah was probably one of the holiest men of his day. He was preaching truth. He loved the Lord. He was condemning sin. He'd say, woe to those drunkards. Woe to those winebibbers. Woe to those thieves. Woe to those. He had the woes all down until he got in the presence of God. And then you know what he said? Woe is me. See, it really didn't matter about anybody else when he got in the presence of the Lord. I have sinned. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And when he saw the presence of God, it became all personal, and God exposed him. And so David is praying, Lord, expose me. See, I really don't care about it. And it doesn't mean this in the wrong way. It means this in the best way. Every one of you have sin in your lives. You do. I do too. Regardless of what a fellow told me the other day, I was out witnessing to one of our guys, a construction worker, and he said, and I was telling him about my own life, and he said, preacher, sin? Yes, I battle with sin, and the more I seek to get in the presence of Jesus, the more I see my sinfulness. Search me, O God. Notice the second prayer he prays. Stay there. I want to do something real different today, okay? This is all application sermon. I want you to stop right now. Bow your heads, would you? Would you pray this verse? Just look at the scripture. See that verse? Would you pray that to the Lord? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Would you just pray that to God and say, Lord, search out anything that would keep me from being what you want me to be? Second, notice the second thing he prays. He prays for a purging test. Test me or try me and know my thoughts. Try me and know my thoughts or my anxieties. What is this prayer? Well, this is a purging test. And if you can see that picture up there, that's a picture of a gold smelting furnace. This is what God does in your life. When you pray, try me and know my thoughts, you say, Lord, turn the fire up. Turn up the fire. And Lord, let it burn away the dross. Let it surface those things in my life that aren't what please you. God, let it show defects in my life. When he said, show my anxieties, these words mean anxious, faith-wrecking, high, proud, exalted thoughts against God. And here's what he's praying. He's praying for thoughts that are wrong. This is exactly what Paul said. God wants to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's what God's doing. He wants to do that in your life. And he wants to show you. He wants to show you things like bitterness. When you get in the presence of God, you can't hold bitterness towards somebody else. You can't. You can be bitter at somebody, but I'll tell you this, you get in the presence of God and the Holy One of Israel will surface that bitterness and say, I have forgiven you much. How can you hold that unforgiveness? How can you hold bitterness? How can you compare what that person has done to you, whatever it is, with what you have done to me at the cross? You see, and it surfaces that. He surfaces fear. You know, fear keeps us from doing a lot of things for God. Fear keeps us from witnessing. Fear keeps us from serving. Fear keeps us from teaching. Well, I ought to teach, but I'm just afraid. Fear keeps us from singing. Fear keeps us from being in the choir. Fear keeps us from serving in other areas. Fear keeps us from knocking on our neighbor's door. Fear keeps us from going out in evangelism on East Sunday. We don't do any of these things. Why? Because we're afraid. But why should we be afraid? You know what he said? Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not. Jesus said, don't be afraid, it is I. And when the Lord Jesus steps into the situation, it changes the whole equation. Paul said to Timothy, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And when fear surfaces in our life, beloved, we need to see that as a stronghold that has taken hold of our lives, that he keeps us from being useful to God. Fear will rob you of usefulness to God. Bitterness will rob you of usefulness to God. Unforgiveness will rob you of usefulness to God. There are strongholds in your life that have to be broken down. Pride is a stronghold in our lives. Pride says, I don't need God, I can do it myself. I don't have to do it God's way. I don't have to be baptized. I can just do whatever I want. God will have to accept me. This generation is a generation, the Bible describes it in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 30, and it says, oh, how lofty are their thoughts. They think, I don't need God. I can do it my own way. I don't need the help of God's people. I can make it my own way. That is so wrong and ungodly, and it is a stronghold of pride. Beloved, you need us, and we need you. We need your giftedness. We need you serving in the body. We need you plugging in and doing what God's called you to do. We need your faithfulness. We need your prayerfulness. We need your love. We need for you to be the person God's called you to be. And if fear or pride or bitterness or unforgiveness or isolation or lack of understanding who you really are in Christ or any of those things are keeping you from being God's servant in this place, God's precious servant being used of him, now is the time to say, Lord, test me. Put me to the test. Turn the fire up in my life and surface anything. Lord, if there's any of that in my life, would you take it out? Would you cleanse it? Would you burn it out of my life? Would you let the fire bubble it to the top and let me scoop it off of my life and cleanse it out? Would you bow with me for prayer again? Are you willing to pray, Lord, test me? Lord, put my life to the test. Lord, surface those things in my life that could keep me from being useful to you. Lord, if there's pride or unforgiveness or bitterness or fear or jealousy, any of those things, Lord, that could keep me, if there are any strongholds like that in my life, Lord, would you surface them and would you cleanse them out of my life even now? And if you're praying that prayer with me, would you slip your hand up and down and just say, Lord, I'm praying, purge me, turn up the fire, even though I may not want it. Amen. When I was teaching Sunday school, I had the joy of teaching college kids for a long time. And I taught them a prayer. Because the goal of your life and my life is to be conformed to the image of Christ. To be like Jesus. That's your goal. I mean, so that when people look at you, they see Jesus. But you know what it's going to take to be like Jesus? Jesus suffered to show himself as a son of God. Jesus was scorned by people. He was rejected by people. He was hated by people. But when you become more like Jesus, there's going to be a love that's going to draw people to you and a power that's going to repel people away from you. But I taught my college kids, pray this prayer. Lord, make me like Jesus, no matter what it takes or what it costs. Now, I want you to think about that. So if I'm in the middle of something and it's this pressure is on and I'm hating, I'm saying, oh, Lord, help. And he says, no, I'm already answering the other prayer. See, that's what it means. And that, you know what? You got to determine in your life, that's the one I really want him to answer. I want the make me like Jesus prayer answered more than I want the get me out of the problem prayer. I don't like problems any more than you do, and that's why I say it's a scary prayer. But I want you to think about it. You see, that's a prayer that says, God, I want to be your servant. I want to be the kind of vessel that you can use. So search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thought. Notice the third request. Look what he says. He asks for a pervasive look. Look everywhere. See if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Notice the third. He says, Lord, see. Look carefully. Get your binoculars out, Lord. Search. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Search me, O God. Look in my life. Lord, is there anything in my life, anything that is a wicked way? You know what the discovery of any wicked way is? God bringing up anything in your life that could cause problems. Now listen, here's what a wicked way is. What's another word for a way? Path, the road, right? What does a road do? It takes you somewhere, doesn't it? Now, here's what I want you to see, guys, and this is a powerful part of David's prayer. He's saying, Lord, look in my life and see if there's anything that today looks harmless, but tomorrow could lead me astray. See, because a way takes you somewhere. And you think today, oh, there's nothing wrong with this. I've got this little thing. Well, it's not really a sin. It's just close to a sin. You know, it's not really wrong. It's just kind of flirting on the outskirts of sin. And I'll be okay. Do you know what? It's a way. It's a way that leads you somewhere. See, I don't think it was really the first time David got up on the roof, to be honest. I just think he finally got up there one time too many and looked over and said, I know her husband's at war. See, because he started in a way. And a way takes you somewhere. And let me tell you the rule of sin. Sin always takes you further than you want to go. And it keeps you longer than you want to stay. And it costs you more than you want to pay. So see if there's any wicked way in me. Any ways in your life that if unchecked, today they're okay. You've got them under control. You're pretty much controlling it. But if it got out of control tomorrow, it'd be destructive. See, that's what David's praying for. And then he prays this. He prays, Lord, and lead me in the everlasting way. Lead me in the everlasting way. David prays for a perfected walk. How do I walk with God? Well, here's what he promised. He promises God's guidance. The psalmist says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. This is probably the most familiar psalm you know. But listen to what it says. I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me. David understood the leadership of the Lord. Let me tell you something about the Lord. He doesn't want to hurt you. His plans for you are better than you could ever dream of. You say, well, you don't understand. I need a job. He knows that. He cares about your family more than you do. He cares about providing for more than you do. I need a place to live. He's got that. He says this in his word. He says, if any man does not provide for his own, and especially those of his own household, he's worse than an infidel. If he says that about others, surely he thinks that of himself. Won't he provide for you? He will lead you. He will lead you to the right job. He'll lead you to the right school. He'll lead you to the right spouse. He'll lead you He'll lead you in the right way. He will lead you away from sin. I always pray, Lord, you know what he says? He says, don't be like, in one of the Psalms, he says, Psalm 32, don't be like the horse or the mule, which have to be led by bit and by bridle. You don't want God to have to drag you everywhere you go, do you? Do you want God to have to put a bit in your mouth and yank you around? No, he says this. He says, you learn to listen to the voice of the Lord in his word and in prayer. And as you listen to the voice of the Lord, you say, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. If you got up every morning and you said, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. Lord, would you guide me in the way I want to go? God wants to guide you. And listen, the way he wants to take you is the everlasting way. He wants to take you on the path that will bring, listen, heaven on earth now and you to heaven then. That's the path he wants you on. Heaven on earth now, and you to heaven then. That's where God wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. His desire for you is to take every evil way out of your life and lead you in the right way. Do you want that? Would you say first, Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, Lord, if I'm flirting with sin, would you surface it and let me confess it and deal with it? I want God, I don't want to be led away from you. Lord, don't make me like one who has to have a bit or a bridle. Lord, lead me so that I can walk with you. Father, you have seen us pray together. Lord, we have asked you to search our hearts. Because, Lord, we don't know them. We know that they're, Lord, the Bible tells us that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We couldn't know them. In fact, it even says, who can know it? You're the one who searches the heart. So, Lord, would you search our heart? Lord, would you turn the fire up and show us any thoughts that would wreck our faith? Father, would you expose to us any ways that are going to lead us somewhere where we really don't want to go? Lord, it may seem interesting and innocent and flirtatious and fun. Lord, we know that the end of it will be destruction because you said there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is the way of death. So, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would now lead us. God, that we would so be sensitive to you that, Lord, you could lead us by your Spirit. And we wouldn't have to have a bit or a bridle stuck in our mouths to drag us around. But rather, we could walk with you. So, Lord, we pray for your leadership in our lives. We pray, Spirit of God, that you would search us. Lord, if there are any strongholds in our lives, false identity, isolation, pride, fear, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness. Lord, would you surface those strongholds and break them out of our lives as we expose ourselves to you this morning like the psalmist did of old and have your way in us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.